We have been talking about, for the past couple of Wednesdays, the expression of faith, but in seeking the Lord this morning, we're going to go a little different direction today, and I just believe, God, that this is going to help you, help your faith, help you in healing and receiving healing and walking in all that God has for you. Amen. So we're going to talk about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Yes. Do you know that there are so many people in the world today that are harboring unforgiveness in their hearts, and they do not know and understand that it is robbing them of their faith in God and of their healing from God? He's already provided healing for them, and maybe they've been waiting a long time for God to heal. Why hasn't he healed? But at the same time, they haven't realized that unforgiveness in their heart stops the healing flow of God in their bodies. Yeah. So we're going to look at the Bible today and what it says about unforgiveness. And I believe by the time we finish today that you're going to have a whole different perspective and view on it, and that you're going to take your place over it, and not fall into a trap by the devil to it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because that is one of the ploys of the enemy, is to get you in unforgiveness. So harboring unforgiveness in your heart can be a hindrance to your faith, and it can be a roadblock to your healing. But we're going to uncover some of the schemes and strategies of the enemy and open your heart up to the Lord.
Yeah.
Be truthful with him.
Right.
And you know what? He'll get right in there today as you allow him and permit him. And remove some things that have been really devastating to you physically. You don't need that. Because unforgiveness doesn't hurt the person that you're holding it against. It doesn't hurt them at all. Holding unforgiveness in your heart or resentment or bitterness is hurting you on the inside. And it starts on the inside. And it manifests on the outside, your physical body. But it starts inward. And when we hold on to those grudges and resentments and bitterness and harbor that anger on the inside because of maybe what was done against us or what was said against us, it's not worth it. But we're going to learn what Jesus did and showed us in the Word of God. And you will be not a victim of the devil, but you're going to be a victor over the devil.
That's right.
Not a victim of your circumstances, but a victor over your circumstances. Amen. That's
right.
What God has designed you to be. Amen. So here's a good thing to remember. Forgiveness is not about a feeling. You can write that down. It's not about a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice or a decision.
Yeah.
To side in with God and what his word says concerning unforgiveness in our hearts.
Yeah.
So it's not about a feeling. Well, Pastor Debbie, I don't feel like forgiving them. It's not about a feeling, because you could be waiting forever for the feelings to line up. And it may never happen. The devil will make sure that it will never happen. But if you make a choice and a decision with your own heart that I'm going to do what the word says to do, and therefore I'm going to release this thing, I'm going to let it go.
Yeah.
Come on now. And when you do that, the feelings will line up with the word and your choice and the decision you made with your heart. That's how powerful the Word of God is.
Yeah.
So the feelings will eventually come, but we're not looking for feelings.
No.
We want to do what the Word of God says. Jesus said, those that are doers of my word will be blessed in their deeds.
Yeah.
James chapter 1, verse 22. So we want to learn. This is something we all have to learn, is to learn to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe God. Believe God's best and God's highest, not only for your own life, but for the other individual's life.
Yeah.
Ah, Bob, I'm not at that place yet, Pastor Debbie. Well, we're going to help you get there through the Word of God. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. You can do this. God would never tell us in His Word to do something that He has not given us the capability, the ability by which we can do it. If you're born again in here today, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured or shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, and that love abides in you richly. The same love with which the Father loved Jesus resides on the inside of you, and you are very capable of loving, loving and forgiving people.
Yep.
So the more that we learn quickly to be quick to repent, forgive, and believe God's highest and best, the better it is for you in your walk and your growth with God.
Yep.
Amen? So let's take our Bibles today, and we want to go and turn to, I'm reading from all of it in the Amplified Version. We want to go to Mark chapter 11. We're talking about unforgiveness. And learning to do what the Bible says to do when it comes to unforgiveness. Because you don't want your faith to be, what, hindered, or you don't want your healing to be blocked.
Yeah.
You want it to be unlocked so it can flow freely into your, on this out. Healing starts in the inward man. It starts in the spirit because it is spiritual.
Yeah.
So it's of the heart and it flows outward on the outward man. But it begins in our heart. So if we look in here in Mark chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse 25. I'm reading from the Amplified, verse 25 and 26. 25 and 26. It says in verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. And let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop." Verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings." So let's think about this right here. Verse 25 and 26 comes right after Jesus had been with his disciples and he'd just given them a lesson on faith, the God kind of faith. They had walked by this fig tree. They saw the disciples were with Jesus. Jesus was looking for figs on it. The figs were not there. The leaves were. It was like a hypocrite tree. And so he cursed the tree and told it it would never produce fruit again. And the disciples are right there with Jesus, and they watched him do all this, and then they're coming by the next day, and they look, and it's all curled up, withered up. They're like, "Jesus, look, the fig tree you cursed is all dried up, withered up." And he said, "Yes." And he goes on to say right here, and right in verse 21, Mark chapter 11, verse 21, Peter remembered, he said to him, "Master, look, the fig tree which you doomed or cursed, ruined, has withered away." Verse 22, and Jesus replying said to them, verse 22, "Have faith in God," or have the God kind of faith. One translation says, have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God, another translation says. In verse 23, and it goes on to say, "I tell you, whoever says to this mountain," and then he goes on to proceed to tell them what the God kind of faith looks like. He said, just like what they just saw him do with the fig tree, he said, "Whosoever shall say," verse 23, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that those things that they say if shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they sayeth. And then he goes on to verse 24. He says, for this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trusting, and be confident that it is granted to you, you will get it. In other words, believe it before you actually get it, that you have it.
Right.
Hallelujah. So he says, he'd just given them the lesson on the God kind of faith, but he said right here in verse 25 and 26, but if you stand praying anywhere, if you have, what did we say in verse 25? If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you in your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. So if you want your faith to be working and you want that healing power flowing in you and working also in your body, you don't want no hindrances, you don't want no roadblocks, then we got to continue to do what it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that we are to guard our hearts continually. There is an adversary out there arrayed against us, like it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, and 9, and he does not like you. He is against you, and he's about destruction and distraction. That's how the devil operates, destruction and distraction. He's out to destroy your life. There's no plainer way to put it. That's why it tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, what? I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yep.
So there is an enemy out there, and the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 11, let's go there together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll hit some good scriptures today so you can have some good ammunition.
Yeah.
Put some good ammunition in your weapon there.
That's right.
So you're only throwing out the word of God because you believe it with your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, to keep Satan from getting an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. To keep him from getting an advantage over us. So harboring unforgiveness in your heart would be allowing him to get an advantage over you.
True.
And the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, but we're fully aware of them, how our enemy and adversary operates. We got to know who the enemy is. It's not God the Father. It's not Jesus. They're not the ones that are against you. Hallelujah. They're the ones that are for you and have provided life for you and the abundant life, healing and health and strength and peace and joy and prosperity that belongs to you.
Yeah.
But there's an enemy that doesn't want you to know that, think that, or have that. So we can't be ignorant of how the enemy operates when it comes to unforgiveness. The sooner that we recognize it, whether it's cross words with one another or saying something out of line about gossiping about somebody, or somebody says something to you so you fly back and say something at them, and then it just goes on, rah, rah, rah. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive them. That's what Jesus said. The sooner that we let it go and let it drop, and how do we do that, Pastor? We do it with our mouth. The same way that you take on an offense or resentment or anger or unforgiveness, you start talking about it with this mouth right here. That's how you take it into your heart. You start talking about what happened to you, what they said against you, what they did against you, and you start spreading it. It not only stays with you, you start talking about it to other people. And it becomes not good. It defiles even other people. But we'll get to all that. So the quicker that we learn to repent, forgive, and believe, the better it is. Also, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. So we know we're not to be ignorant of how the enemy operates. The sooner we recognize his ploy against us and that He wants you to get offended or in unforgiveness against that individual, the sooner you recognize it, say, oh no, I see that ploy. I refuse to get in unforgiveness against that individual. See, you use your mouth to get out of it just like you used your mouth that you got, how you got into it.
Right.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that more and more. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. What, Pastor Debbie? It says, leave no such room, no foothold, a place or entry level or an access point that he can gain entrance into your life and begin to use it as a base to make further advance into your life, to bring destruction in your life. That's how the enemy operates.
Yep.
He doesn't just stop with one little thing. No, that one thing begins to build, and that will grow bigger and bigger until the next thing you know, you...
Yeah.
Okay, now. All right. Y'all are with me. So it says, give no place, give no room, no opportunity to him. No entry level, no access point, no base to use as a to make a further advance in your life. One translation says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't give him a way to defeat you. Harboring unforgiveness in your heart is giving the enemy a way to defeat you. We do not want to give him any place or way to defeat you. No, you're the winner in this life. You're the overcomer. You're the more than conqueror. You're the victorious one. Come on now. Hallelujah. So as the people of God, we need to be well. You know, when it tells us not to be ignorant, that just means not understanding certain necessary facts. So we need to understand certain necessary facts when it comes to the enemy and how he operates. Hallelujah. So we don't want to give him any place. In your mind or with your words and your actions. Give him no place in your mind. Well, you know, it starts with the thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Debbie, I can't believe what they said to me. I can't believe what they spoke against me. It was not good. And you begin to dwell on that thought. You begin to think on it and roll it over and over and over again into your mind until what happens? Then you begin to talk about it. Here comes the roots. It begins to go down and take and build a root system in there. The same way that you take it is the same way you get rid of it. Say, no, I refuse to get offended at that person and what they did. I refuse to take offense. I refuse to get in bitterness. I refuse to get in resentment. I refuse to harbor any unforgiveness in my heart towards that individual. See how you use your mouth to get right back out of it. And then you do not allow your thoughts to entertain and keep as it. If the devil keeps reminding you of what they said or what they did, you're exactly right. You have to shut it down with your mouth and saying, nope. That's not me. I refuse to take a hurt. I refuse to take a hurt. I will not be hurt in this. I refuse to take a hurt. What, Pastor? Yeah. Your mouth. It gets you. It's your way out. It's your way out so you don't become a prey for the enemy. He's looking for opportunities. He's looking for inroads. He's looking for entry levels. He's looking for access points. Any way he can to gain access into your life, to gain more control of your life. But like it says right here, give no place to the devil. So it starts with their thought line. And a thought unspoken and unacted upon dies unborn. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, take no thought by saying. Remember, you cannot fight thoughts with thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words, spoken words.
Right.
What God says about you. and your situation. What he says, not what the devil is saying or what somebody else has said. But they did this and they, you know what? Let it go. Let it drop. Be a forgiver, a quick forgiver, and a releaser. Release them unto God for God's will to be done in their life. Let God handle that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
You can do this. We're learning to do what the Word says to do. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe God.
Yeah.
So we don't want to give the enemy any place in our minds, in our thought life. Starts with the thoughts, then it goes into your words, then it goes into your actions. No, we don't want to act like the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're to represent Jesus' kingdom here on this earth and show people the love of God and what the love of God would look like and act like. Amen. So let's look here at another scripture. So we just looked at Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, and how it affects your faith and your healing. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Verse 1, then we're going to jump down to verse 4, 5, and 6. But let's see. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. At verse 1, we're starting in verse 1, then we're going to jump down to verse 3. We're talking about harboring any unforgiveness in our hearts. We want our faith fully working. We don't want to hinder or roadblock our healing. No. So in chapter 17 of Luke, in verse 1, reading from the Amplified, it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice you to sin are sure to come." Woo! Is that a bad proclamation, Pastor Debbie? It's the truth. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Satan is the little g god of this world system. He is not God over you. If you're born again and know Jesus as your Savior, Jesus Christ is Lord over you. And therefore, the power of the devil was broken over your life the moment you said yes to Jesus and gave him your life. So now, this new life that you're learning to live from the inside out, because the outward man didn't get saved, your mind didn't get saved, you're renewing your mind with the Word, the body is coming into line with what you believe with your heart. All this is a growing process, a learning process. Now, you're learning to recognize some things and know who it's from. Why it's trying to come so that it can gain an entrance into your life. That's how the enemy operates. So Jesus said, these things are going to come because we live in a fallen world. Yeah. But know this, what did he say? We looked at that John chapter 16, verse 33 last week. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. I've deprived it of its power to harm you or hurt you in any way. Jesus said that to us. Hallelujah. So, if we're living in this world and we know who's the little g god of this world system, then we are smarter and not ignorant. We understand certain necessary facts of how the enemy operates so that we can stand our ground and be smarter than him and not give him any place. So, Jesus said, opportunities are going to come that you're going to have great opportunity to get in offense or to get in unforgiveness towards individuals.
Yep.
But this is what he said. Look at verse 3. Let's go to verse 3 now. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. He says, pay attention and always be on your guard, looking out for one another. It didn't say gossiping about one another, did it?
Nope.
Didn't say talking or putting each other down, did it?
Nope.
No, it said looking out for one another.
Yep.
total opposite.
That's right.
Yeah, pay attention. Always be on your guard. One translation says, get a grip on yourself. You're living in a fallen world. These things are all around you. The enemy's trying to get you to take offense here, unforgiveness here, to get it in your heart, to stop your faith from working. Why? Because your faith is of utmost importance in this time that we're living in on this earth. You need your faith, the God kind of faith, to be working for you on this earth right here and right now. More than ever, we need the faith of God working. And so to know that there's an enemy that's trying to stop your faith from working ought to make you more determined to say, you know what, I recognize that. I refuse to get in offense. I refuse to get in unforgiveness. I'm going to let it go, let it drop, leave this thing. I'm going to believe God's best for that individual.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that makes the devil say it and may it.
Sure does.
Mm-mm-mm-mm. All right, let's read on here. So it says right here in verse 3, pay attention. Get a grip on yourself. Always be on your guard, looking out for one another. If your brother sins, misses the mark, solemnly tell him so and reprove him. And if he repents, feel sorry for having sinned, forgive him. Verse 4, and even if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times and says, I repent, I'm sorry. You must forgive him, give up resentment, and consider the offense as recalled and annulled. Ooh. This is helping us. This is helping us. This is helping us. He says, you must forgive him. Give up the resentment. Consider the offense as recalled and annulled as nothing. So we're learning to take no offense, no hurts. We're learning what the word says concerning this matter. And you are very capable of doing this.
Yeah.
Remember, unforgiveness is not about a feeling. It's about a choice and a decision that you choose to make with your heart concerning what the word says.
That's right.
And the moment that you do and use your mouth to forgive and let them go, let it go, let it drop, forgive them, release them. You'd be surprised about the feelings that will line up with that.
Yeah.
But don't look for the feelings, because we're not looking for the feelings here. So, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They're like, whoa, Lord, whoa, this is a big one here. This is kind of tight. They said, increase our faith, and that trust and confidence that spring from our belief in you, Lord God. Verse 6, and the Lord answered. Now, that same situation in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22, Peter actually is the one that goes before the Lord, and he said, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said, no, Peter, 70 times 7. And Peter's like, what? 70 times 7? That's 490 times in a day. The Lord said, yes, meaning unlimited.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle of learning to forgive and walk in forgiveness as long as we're here on this earth. And Peter was like, increase our faith. Oh, this is a hard one, Jesus. No. God is for you. God is with you. And he's given you the ability by which you can do this. So look at this. So verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith and trust and confidence that spring from our belief in you, Lord God. Verse 6, and the Lord answered, if you had faith, trust, confidence in God, even so small like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree or sycamine tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So Jesus is saying right here, it just takes a small amount of faith for you to believe me in what my word says, make a choice and decision to forgive them, and then you use your mouth and you say to that sycamore tree, be plucked up, be uprooted, and get out of my life because I'm not taking offense on this. I'm not getting offended on it. I'm not getting in unforgiveness on it. I'm not getting in bitterness or resentment about it. You use your mouth. That's what Jesus is showing them here. He said it just takes a small amount of faith. Yeah. Because the apostles or the disciples, they said, Lord, increase that faith. We need great faith in order to do this. Jesus said, no, it just takes a small amount of faith. And the same way that you got into it and took that offense, it's the same way you get out and release that offense with your mouth. Everybody getting this? Hallelujah. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're giving no place to the devil. We want our faith in full force. Yeah. We want our faith fully operating on our behalf in the day and the time that we're living in. We don't have time for this other stuff. So we want to choose to walk in love and walk in forgiveness here. Do you know that... a sycamore tree that its roots go very deep. They're not shallow. A sycamore tree has very deep roots. It has a big root system. Also, a sycamore tree, the wood was used in the Bible days to make caskets. So it's deadly. So offense, unforgiveness, it wants to get a deep root in your life so that it can produce, death. It's deadly. Also, the fruit on a sycamore tree, the poor people would eat the fruit on the sycamore tree because they couldn't afford the other good fruit. So that poor people would eat the fruit on a sycamore tree. So it's also poverty. It'll bring poverty in your life. You're like, why did I lose my job? Or why did this? Or what? How come my checkbook ain't set? How come it will affect every area of your life? We're talking about when Jesus used the sycamore tree, it's the reason he used the sycamore tree. Yeah. Also, the fruit was not only the poor people ate the fruit, but in order to reproduce that tree, the stinger of a wasp got into that fruit and took it somewhere else to another one to reproduce it again. So we don't want this root of bitterness or unresentment or unforgiveness get in there and become a stinger where it begins to sting other people's lives and ruin their lives, because second offenses are worse than first offenses. When you begin to take on somebody else's offense or bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness, you begin to share it and talk about it, then that person gets offended at the person that offended you.
Yeah.
And their second offenses are even worse. Jesus is saying, look, it's like a sycamore tree. The roots are deep. It's going in to destroy your life. It's deadly. It's poisonous. Yeah. And as you keep spreading it, it becomes like the stinger of that wasp.
Yeah.
Spreading and spreading and spreading. It stings. It's not good. Hallelujah now.
Yeah.
We're talking about unforgiveness and not allowing it and giving it any place here. Very, very important. Jesus said, get a grip here on yourself. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Be on your guard. These kind of opportunities will present themselves, but how you choose to react and respond in it, that'll be up to you. So we're trying to help you to respond the way you were created by God to respond. Amen. So let's look at some scriptures, more scriptures concerning this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Well, actually, before we go to Matthew chapter 6, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. because I just touched on a little bit of that. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15. Hebrews 12 and in verse 15. We're talking about any unforgiveness. We don't want to. We want to be quick to repent, quick to forgive, and quick to believe God's highest and best. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 12, Amplified says, exercise foresight and be on the watch. Well, here that is again. Not only be on your guard, be on the watch to look after one another. Here we go again. Looking after one another, helping one another. To see that no one falls back from and fails to favor and spiritual blessing in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. See, when you begin to talk about what somebody else has said about you or has done to you, and you begin to tell it to other people, you contaminate them. You're defiling them by that root of bitterness that's in you. Jesus said right here, we're to look out for one another. Yep. If you come up on a conversation, there's people talking about somebody else and putting them down, be a light in the midst of that and say, you know what? I'm going to excuse myself from this conversation because I refuse to be a part of it. Right. That helps that group that's talking about it to stop and think, uh-oh, this ain't good what we're doing here. So you can be the light in that situation. Say, I refuse to partake of this conversation. I will not be a part of it. Y'all excuse me. Yeah. Walk away from it. You can do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You're helping yourself and you're helping others so it won't become a second offense.
Right.
That they take on what you had in your heart. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
This is helping us. So it says right here, in order that no root of resentment. Just like that sycamore tree, it has deep roots, and it's deep roots for a purpose. It's hard to kill a sycamore tree.
Yeah.
It's hard to destroy it because its roots go so deep into the ground. So it says, in order that no root of resentment... rancor, bitterness, hatred shoots forth, causes trouble, bitter torment. Notice it brings that word bitter torment. So actually when you allow unforgiveness in your heart, it becomes torment to you from the enemy. He torments you on and on and on. As you continue to dwell on it, as you feed it, as you... We need to learn to what? Forgive and let it go. If you hang on to it, you're letting it grow. We don't want to hang on to it and let it grow. We want to forgive and let it go.
Yeah.
Woo, glory, yeah. Glory, glory. So that the many become, so that causes trouble, bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. Nope, that's not what we want. Nope, nope, nope. Stops right there with you. The very moment the opportunity presents itself. I recognize this. I recognize who it's coming from, where it's coming from, and why. Trying to rob me of my faith or my healing in my body. And I refuse. I refuse.
Yeah.
Use your mouth. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to take
offense.
I refuse to get hurt about this. I take no hurts.
I don't.
Woo, this is powerful. This is powerful. It's going to help us. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says in the Amplified, for if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. It's just true. Let's look at another scripture together. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 31 and 32. Be quick to forgive, quick to repent, quick to believe God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper. Did you say bad temper, Pastor Debbie? That's what the Bible says. I got a little temper that you can bring under control. You've allowed that temper to get that way because you did. You did, but you can reel that temper right back in and bring it right under control. It's just you've let that temper go and have its way in you for so long that it's trying to dominate, but you can bring it right back under control. It says passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, all it goes back to all of what you're thinking on. And renewing your mind. Resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you. Let it be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. Let it be banished from you. Don't let it be a part of your life. Let it go. And the sooner you let it go, the better it is. Drop all charges.
Yeah.
What does verse 32 say? And become useful and helpful and kind to one another.
Yeah.
Tenderhearted. Compassionate.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastor Debbie, did you say compassionate? Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus was compassionate.
Yes.
He showed his compassion to a lot of different things. From the mother that was having a funeral service for her son, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on the crowds that were coming in multitudes that were listening, sitting on the mountainside to his teachings, and they didn't have no food. And so the disciples said, what are we going to do? Send them all to town? They can't get all that quick.
Right.
And the compassion of the Lord, and that brought a provisional miracle. Raising from the dead miracle for that woman with her son.
Yes.
The compassion of Jesus is amazing. The more you get to know the Father's heart, the more his heart will shine through you and show through you. And compassion is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely. Readily. Be quick. Forgiving one another what? Readily and freely. Drop the charges. Sometimes here we are with our minds. We're counting up every account, everything they did, everything they said, we're counting it all up in our mind. Drop all charges. Let it go. Don't allow your mind to sit there and count it all up as to everything they did or said or what they didn't say or what they didn't do. Sometimes it's not about what they said or did. It's what they didn't say or what they didn't do. Let it go. It's not worth your time. It's only hurting you, not hurting them. It's hurting you. We want our faith in full motion, full action, full force. We want our healing to be fully manifested. So we won't harbor unforgiveness in there. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 36 and 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 36 and 37, amplified. So it says, verse 36, so be merciful. Sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate. There's that word again, compassionate. Compassionate, even as your Father is. All these What does the Bible tell us? We're to represent our Father here on the earth. What does it tell us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1? Be imitators of your heavenly Father.
Right.
When a child wants to mimic their parents, what do they begin to do? Talk like them, act like them. God wants us to talk and act like He would. So he says, be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, compassionate, even as your Father is, all these. Verse 37, judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting censure, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive and release. What is all these good verbs here? Woo! Acquit. Woo! It says acquit and forgive and release. Give up resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. Yeah. Yeah, let's look at Psalms 86, verse 5, because it just tells us the truth about our Heavenly Father. Psalms 86, verse 5. Psalms 86, and in verse 5, reading from the Amplified. It says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. That's what he did with our sins.
Yeah.
Completely took care of them, remitted them forever. Ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. That's what we have to do. And it says, and you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you. Thank God he is the God that is good, loving, forgiving, willing, ready to forgive us. Look in verse 15, the same chapter, chapter 86, we're looking at verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and loving kindness and truth. God is good and gracious and kind and patient, but he's ready to forgive, forgiving us. We're talking about unforgiveness, not letting it get a root down into your heart, guarding your heart above all else. Get a good grip on yourself. Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, guard yourself, for these opportunities will present themselves, but how you respond is going to make all the difference in the world. And we're seeing that according to the Bible, the quicker that we let it go, let it drop, release them, we're forgivers and releasers. We forgive those individuals and we release them into God's plan and will. That's not our part to judge them. Judge not lest you be judged also.
Oh boy.
Don't want to fall in that category.
Yeah.
God will take care of that.
Yeah.
You want to pray for them. Release them and pray for them.
Right.
That God's highest and best would be in their lives.